Today is the third of five consecutive Sundays on which the Gospel is taken from chapter 6 of St. John. If you have not yet done so, this is the opportunity to take your Bible at home and read all of chapter 6 and study it carefully. But as we saw last week, in order to do that, you need to back up and start at the beginning, reading chapters 1 through 5 as a preparation for understanding the events described for us in chapter 6. We saw last week that no one disputes that Jesus of Nazareth existed. The question is, who was he? The modern temptation to describe him as a noble teacher, a wise philosopher, a moral exemplar, is incoherent. Given the things he says about himself and the things that he did as described by eyewitnesses to the events, it is not possible that he is merely a wise teacher. There are three and only three possible explanations for this man: liar, lunatic, and Lord. And on our answer to this question hinges everything. We saw last week how chapter 5 ends and chapter 6 begins. Jesus, having explained in chapter 5 something of his unique relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom he calls my Father, begins chapter 6 with the multiplication of the loaves and then walking on the water. And then the text that we had last week, where he begins to describe himself as the bread of life. Recall that those who heard it disputed his authority to say such things and asked him what signs he could do to demonstrate his authority. They reminded him that the children of Israel were fed during their journey in the desert from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the land of promise by God himself. And the first lesson last week was from the book of Exodus. Today it's from 1 Kings, where we see that Elijah is also nourished directly by God. In both cases, however, as Jesus will say in just a moment, this was nourishment for the body, for mortal life. The bread he's speaking of is nourishment for the soul, for everlasting life. But the things he says about himself and his relationship to the one true God require us to know and understand three doctrines which cannot be known by human reason or discovered by human investigation. These are three doctrines that are either revealed directly by God himself or are nonsense. There's no middle ground. And the three are the Trinity, the Incarnation, and the divinity of Christ. The first claim is that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the only true God, is before the creation of anything and everything in himself a communion, a fellowship of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not three gods, three persons in one Godhead. The second doctrine, the Incarnation, teaches us that in the fullness of time, by the will of God the Father and the power of God the Holy Spirit, God the Son took flesh in the womb of the Virgin. This means Jesus of Nazareth had no human father. If Mary conceived her son with a man, Joseph or any other, Christianity is a false religion and we are wasting our time. From the Trinity and the Incarnation comes the third and final doctrine, essential to understanding what Christ says to us in the Gospel today, the divinity of the Lord Jesus. Because he is by nature and from all eternity God the Son, even in his sacred humanity, he remains divine. A man like us in all things but sin, yes, but joined to the divine nature of the eternal Word in such a way that the man who walked on this earth is God. Now, with those three in mind, let's look where we begin today. Recall last week where we ended. Jesus said, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and him I shall raise on the last day." Here's the reaction. They murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Listen, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? How can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" They go straight to the heart of the matter. Now, it's perfectly reasonable for them to believe this man is, in fact, the son of Joseph. At the moment of his conception, the only people on the planet who knew different were Joseph and Mary themselves. During the 3 years of his public ministry, the Lord begins to teach us in ways that we can comprehend that this is not the case, but it will only be after his resurrection and his return to the Father's glory and the falling of the Spirit that the church can understand completely what it means to say that he is the Son of God, that he has no human father. And so this is a perfectly reasonable objection. If he were the son of Joseph, then we would know beyond all doubt that this man is a lunatic who says of himself, "I have come down from heaven." Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, "I have come down from heaven"? His reply, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and him I will raise on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.'" This is the key. If Christianity is not a revealed religion, it is a false religion. If Christianity is the result of human wisdom, of our experience of God, of anything other than the direct supernatural gift of divine revelation, ours is a false faith. But if God has revealed, disclosed, unveiled himself in the law and the prophets, in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, in every God-breathed word of Holy Scripture, then we are being taught by God. And what we learn gradually is that of all teachers, Jesus is unique in this way. His words not only illuminate our minds, his grace opens our minds and hearts from the inside to understand and accept the truths that are being revealed, truths like the Trinity, the Incarnation, and his own divinity. "Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me," says Christ. "Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father." He, of course, means himself. Even in his human nature, during his life among us, because he is God the Son, he retained the immediate and blessed vision of God his Father. What the saints and angels now have in glory, Christ had at every moment of his earthly life. "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life." A man who says this and is not the Lord is most surely a lunatic, or at the very least, a liar, a con man. But a man who says the truth in this respect is the Lord. These are the only three possibilities. He returns now to their having reminded him in last week's gospel about the bread of angels. "Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. That was food for the body, mortal life." He speaks now of food for the soul and everlasting life. "This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die." In the next two Sundays, we're going to read as he explains the startling, indeed the mind-boggling consequences of this saving doctrine. As we add to the Trinity the incarnation and the divinity of Christ, his real presence in the Eucharist. And for us to understand the consequences of that revealed truth for our salvation and for our present happiness, if we're to understand what happens in every celebration of the Mass, we have to come to terms, not with the words of a liar or a lunatic, but the words of the Lord. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world.